Today with Claire Byrne on RTE Radio 1, sponsored by Cash and Carry Kitchens. Transform your home with the warmth of an Irish-made kitchen. Cashandcarrykitchens.ie.
Following the discovery of a case of bird flu in a wild buzzard in Dublin, the Department of Agriculture, Food and the Marine issued a warning urging people not to pick up or touch sick or dead wild birds and to keep pets away too. But is this really the next pandemic, as many fear? And if not, what should we be concerned about when it comes to bird flu? Well, I'm joined now by Dr. Gerald Barry, who's Assistant Professor of Virology at UCD, and Amy Ford, who's News Editor with the Farmers Journal. And Amy, I want to come to you first, because this warning that the Department of Agriculture has issued, what does it mean for farmers?
Yeah, Claire, thanks for having me on. So to put it in context, this winter, this is the second case of the virus in a wild bird in Ireland. The first one was confirmed in Galway in early December, and the second was confirmed just before the end of December, as you said, in Dublin. Basically, this means that bird flu is circulating in the wild bird population around the country, and there's obviously then a big concern that if a wild bird that was infected with bird flu was to come into contact with birds on a poultry farm, that would obviously be very devastating for that farm.
So they'll have to cull flocks, will they, if this begins to spread in any way?
Yeah, essentially, if this type of bird flu that's circulating, H5N1, it's highly pathogenic. If this gets into a poultry house where birds are being kept, it's devastating for the flock and it's devastating for the farmer, and they would have to cull those animals. Obviously, there's a financial cost to that for the farmer, and obviously then the loss of birds at the same time, he or she will be totally cleared out.
So poultry farmers in particular are being very careful here. What sort of measures will they be taking?
Yeah, so the Department of Agriculture actually issued new regulations after that first case was identified back in early December, for biosecurity measures, increased biosecurity measures. So I suppose in previous years we would have seen regulations where there would be a housing order. There's currently not a requirement for birds to be permanently housed or anything like that, or a ban on any gatherings, for example, at shows or sales. They usually don't take place this time of year anyways. But there is increased biosecurity measures. So biosecurity is essentially ensuring that everything around your yard and on your farm can be protected against bird flu or a disease getting in. So stuff like allowing only certain people into the birdhouse, wrapping up your wearing covers on your shoes and so on, and certain clothing and equipment as you're going in there. Ensuring that feed for the birds is stored where animals, in particular wild birds, cannot gain access, to prevent them from contaminating the feed, and then feeding and watering birds indoors or under cover so that wild birds and vermin won't be attracted to the area. So an increased biosecurity, I suppose, emphasis to ensure that it doesn't get into flocks.
So how would you rate the level of worry within the farming community, in particular poultry farmers, on the head of this?
Look, I think bird flu, poultry farmers themselves will know that bird flu is devastating if it comes inside the door. It's always, I suppose, a worry at the back of their heads. But at this moment in time, we're currently in January, obviously. There was kind of towards the back end of the year, and obviously going into spring, the kind of colder months of the year, there's obviously the higher risk is then. There have been only the two cases so far, hopefully that it stays at that. And obviously none confirmed in captive flocks or in poultry farms today. So look, there's always a worry there, but farmers are, employing as much biosecurity measures as they can to ensure it doesn't come in and to stick to that line, basically, on it then.
Amy, thanks so much. Amy Ford there, News Editor with the Farmers Journal. And as I said, Dr. Gerald Barry, Assistant Professor of Virology at UCD, is also with us. Gerald, good morning to you and thank you for being with us.
Morning.
So we have the second case of bird flu confirmed this winter. Can you tell us a little bit about this latest case? What do we know about it?
Yeah, well, I suppose the first thing to say is it's one of two cases that have been detected in wild birds in 2024. And that number is very low, actually. If you look at the previous year, we had 24 cases detected. So two in a year is actually very good in a way. But what we know is both birds were found unwell or dead. And when that happens, the Department of Agriculture will come out and collect them. They then get sent for testing for a variety of things, including influenza. And this is something that happens regularly. So there are birds that if they're detected, particularly aquatic birds or wild birds, they get regularly tested for influenza. Most will come back negative, but on this occasion, and the one just previous to it, they both came back positive. So, and it's not something that, that we're surprised by in a way. This is something that we see all year, or at least at this time of the year, every year.
Yeah, I suppose why there has been so much coverage about bird flu internationally and some low-level concerns about what might be coming down the tracks is because we had this report of the death of the man in Louisiana in the United States, didn't we, over the last few days, and that has people concerned.
Yeah, that's right. What's been going on in the US has been, I suppose, a little bit concerning and scientifically very interesting in a way. There was a case reported, as you say, there were 66 cases identified in people in the US in 2024 in total. This is the first death that's been reported. It was somebody that had poultry and had close contact with poultry, and those poultry were also infected by avian influenza, and very likely the person picked it up from those birds and sadly passed away just before Christmas. So I suppose that raises people's concerns. We know that this virus can, through close contact with animals that are infected, pass to humans and is very aggressive if it gets into humans. But the risk is very low of contracting it. I think that's the main thing to stress. There's no evidence of transmission between people. It does seem to require close contact with infected animals. Mm-hmm. And for most people, that's very rare.
And it's not a virus, or is it, that is changing and adapting? Could we get to a point where it could infect human to human?
Well, you know, it's interesting. So they did some sequencing studies on this particular case in Louisiana, as they do with all human cases. And they looked at and compared the virus that was in the birds on that person's property, as well as the virus that was in that person. And they did see changes between the virus that was in the birds and the virus that was in the person, suggesting an adaptation to the lungs of the person and compared to the lungs of a chicken, which would be quite different. So it straight away, you're seeing suggestions that this virus is capable of adapting to a mammalian environment, for example. And again, that's not something that we would be surprised by. This virus is very adaptable and it evolves at a constant pace. So I suppose that's why we're monitoring it so closely, is that we have this concern that influenza has the ability to adapt to a mammalian environment and potentially to a human. And so it's something that we're constantly watching out for. But again, to stress, we haven't seen any evidence of any human-to-human transmission yet.
And what does a bird with bird flu look like, or a bird who has died as a result of bird flu?
Yeah, so it depends on the bird and, of course, how healthy that bird is. But if it gets into a poultry farm, for example, the most obvious thing is you start to see a big increase in deaths. You see a lot of lethargy in the birds. You can see respiratory symptoms. You see a drop in egg production. But the most obvious sign really is that you start to see an increase in deaths in the population. It's a very aggressive virus in birds. You can see in some cases neurological signs. So and sometimes in wild birds, people will notice the birds maybe acting a little bit strangely, having some balance issues, for example. That can be a sign, because this virus can go to the brain as well and cause some neurological complications as well.
And the advice
is
to...
nasty infection.
The advice is stay away from those birds, you know, any birds that you see that have died, keep away, and keep your pets away as well.
Yeah, that'd be the point. So like if you do come across a wild bird that's died or appears unwell, don't try and go and help it because it may be infected by avian influenza. And the risk would be that through close contact, you could contract that, or, as you say, a pet. So we know, for example, cats can be readily infected by this virus as well. And some cats can be unwell from it if infected. So really the advice is to not make contact with it, keep your pets away from it, and contact the Department of Agriculture if you do come across a wild bird that you think needs attention or has died. Contact the department, and if they deem necessary, they'll come out and collect it and test it for influenza.
And what about the bovine population? Is that at risk?
Yeah, so this is an interesting one. So again, going back to the US, they've seen a massive outbreak of influenza in cattle in 2024, and that's unusual. So we know that this virus can jump into mammals. We've seen that in the past in 22, 23, for example. We saw a massive outbreak in sea lions in South America, killing about 30,000 sea lions. But in the US this year, for the first time, we saw an outbreak in cattle, and that's unusual. It's not something that we've seen before on this scale, particularly around California. They saw hundreds of farms infected by this, and it was affecting the cattle a little bit. It was causing a drop in milk yields. It was affecting the quality of the milk. But importantly as well, farm workers that were working on those farms were getting infected from the cattle. So again, that's a little bit concerning, that that's something unusual that we're seeing. And anything unusual with this kind of virus is something that piques interest and I suppose encourages us to really monitor these kind of things very, very carefully, which is why we have ongoing surveillance programs across the world, really, and sequencing to track what this virus is doing.
And the bovine influenza, is bird flu, is it? It's the same thing.
Yeah, so the outbreak in the US was this same virus known as H5N1. So it came probably from a bird population into the cattle and then seems to have adapted to cattle. And interestingly, or strangely enough, in a way, it seems to focus very much on the mammary glands of the cattle. So you get huge concentrations of it produced in the milk of the cattle. So raw milk, for example, is a source of the virus. So we know now they've put restrictions in the US on the consumption of raw milk, because that's a source potentially of the virus that could pass on to humans. So yeah, it's come from the bird, adapted into cattle, and is now spreading from cattle to cattle between farms.
All right. Well, as you say, there is a monitoring program underway, and that advice from the Department of Agriculture, Food and the Marine is there, and they want to hear from anybody who suspects they might have seen a case of bird flu in Ireland so that they can take the measures that they deem necessary. Gerald, thank you very much. Good to talk to you. Dr. Gerald Barry there from UCD. Coming up in the next hour of the program, we're going to hear about the farmers who are digging their sheep out of the snow this morning in the Galtee Mountains. Our vet will have advice on how to look after your aging pet, and there's still time to get in touch with us if you have any questions for Niamh Fagan, who'll be with us later on. You can WhatsApp us 0870 32 32 32. She'll take any question really on your pet, but in particular today we're going to focus on what happens when your pet gets that little bit older. And with the new government in the making, the gathering is going to take us through it all. Coming up next though, we're going to have the story of Lego. Adam Maguire has been finding out how a multi-billion dollar success story was built one brick at a time.
Text 51551 today with Claire Byrne on RTE Radio 1.